Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. We are just listening to Bob Marley. He was saying, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. And I have to believe him that everything's going to be all right. I just want to give shout-outs to all of the freedom fighters across the world, across the country. We want to give a shout-out to Dr. Kennedy, who is traveling to Europe. And then from Europe to Atlanta, Georgia. We will be having shows with her. I'm assuming she's going to be calling in tonight. I was asking her, could I get in her suitcase as she get into the airplane? I think I'm too big, though. But anyway, we're hoping she has a safe trip and kind of meet up with her old friends that she grew up with. And she's a special lady to our community and our country. She's from Jamaica, so she comes with a lot of tools from the motherland. But anyway, it's been a long day. My day starts 4 o'clock in the morning, and we starting our shows again. And I've been having a lot of great shows lately, and we know that Aline is going to be having her Progressive Black Summit next month. We're looking forward to that. My cousin from LA, who's going to be one of the main speakers in that. And so we're just excited about that as well. Freedom School, we're getting ready to start farming again, getting ready to put those greens and collards and mustards and kale and cabbage and Napa cabbage and green cabbage and all that stuff in the ground. And so we're going to be calling out for those of you to come out and help us, and as well as donate as well. I know a lot of people who, anyway, I'm not even going to get into that, but anyway, we have a hot show tonight, and we're going to be talking about George Floyd. You know, for the past 2 years, you know, I've been off the air, kind of needed to take a break, take a rest. Hey, that Deacon Tops need to take a rest. Me and Dr. Kennedy started Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. We're going to be starting that show back up as well. This show here is called Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. And, you know, sometimes I hit hard when I have to. And just a lot going on right now. So just want to give a shout out to everybody. You guys stay up. Want to get some different perspectives. Why did George Floyd have to be murdered in his own community? Where he was raised, you know, why did this white man put his nasty, dirty knee on his neck as well? He was telling him he could not breathe. Why did that the black man is such hated in this country by some of our Caucasian institutionalized systemic racist brothers. So we're going to talk about that tonight, kind of see what you where you're coming from. I you know, when all that was going on, I wasn't on the air, so a lot of has built up in me. So if y'all here tonight, know why. We're living in some dangerous times right now. Like it or not, the black man is a endangered species here in America. 400 years ago till today, we still are. And so we have to do what we got to do to protect ourselves. And thank God for cameras and live stream and Facebook Live and all that. Without all of that, same old conversation. They resisted arrest. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and open up the lines right now. See some folks on the line right now. Don't quite know who they are, but I think I recognize one of the numbers. We're going to go to 3618. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Good evening. How are you? I'm going to go to 3205.
Good evening, my brother. Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. You already know who it is.
All right. That's my main man, the revolutionary, Dr. Bullock, Tony Bullock. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Hey, Dr. Harris, how you doing today? First of all, stay blessed, stay proud, stay black. You know how we do.
Hey, you see what I got on? See, I got on my African necklace, a tartary, and my shirt on and everything. So I'm representing everywhere I go. You know, it's funny how people look at you in the store. You're just walking around, you know, with your African attire on and kind of like staring at you like, what do you got on? What is that? Ugh. And it's like, hey, if you only knew.
Well, you know what? Let's just keep it real. If you ain't figured it out by now, anybody should know that black consciousness has been a pride factor since the late 50s.
Right.
And if you live in the state of California, by now, you already better know what it is. Because
right.
Panthers blew through in the late 60s, you knew a new time was coming. Speaking of today, you know, today is September 14th at 8 p.m. The polls close down. So that would be the bell ringing on the recall election. So now the votes will be counted. We will see what's going to happen later down the line. Did the governor get recalled or did the governor keep his position? We will find out. But I heard you ask a question. About what happened to George Floyd, and you were correct. At that time, we were not on the air. We were away from the radio and away from Facebook. There is no secret that the black man has been America's favorite target since we got here. It's that old saying, every time you take two steps forward, you take three steps back. I would like to honestly say that, you know, we can hope all day long that times will get better for us. And just because they don't put us in what we call physical chains, they're still attempting to do it. I mean, there's no reason why black men should get pulled over or shot, locked up for the smallest of infractions. But these things happen to us. And then you have people who want to say, well, you know, you're bringing on yourself. But the truth of the matter is, I don't care how old a black man is. I don't care how young a black man is. He is going to be a target in America. And as much as I would like to say those days have passed, they apparently have not. Because these things keep happening to us.
So let me ask you a question. You know, as a young, I'm going to say young pup, you process this, watching Dr. King being shot down with water hoses, canine dogs ripping the flesh, people like Bull Corner, who has birthed a lot of kids in this world after his depart, the police chief of Alabama, to see all of our revolutionary freedom fighters be murdered, killed in prison, political prisoners in this country. And here we are in the 20th century, and we're still dealing with the same symptoms that our ancestors dealt with. And it's like, you know, we try to grab the children when they're young. That's why I created the Freedom School. We just don't teach them how to farm. We teach them consciousness. The public school system is not going to teach black kids consciousness. If it does anything, it's going to whitewash them so that they won't ever be conscious about who they are. So there's just a lot of things that, you know, I think about. And then, you know, tonight's show is, why did George Floyd have to be murdered in his own community where he paid taxes, where his family grew up in? You know, what made this white police officer feel that it was okay to put his dirty, nasty, filthy knee on our brother's neck, while you had everyone saying, and even himself saying, I cannot breathe? And he just stayed on his neck like a idiot until the man was calling out for his mama. And he continued to stay on his neck. And so what I wonder is, how are we supposed to respond? You know, people say, well, you know, you're not supposed to burn up anything. You're not supposed to lewd. You're not supposed to, well, you're not supposed to be murdering us either. You're not supposed to be shooting us in our back either. So, you know, how do we get the attention of those that's in power to understand that we are human beings? We are was born in this country. Because, see, you have to go back in history to understand. You have to go back in history to really understand about what's going on now. Because these people that they call the so-called forefathers, they're not my father at all. And they're talking about old Brother George and all of them, Washington. Those people were slave owners. They raped our women. They treated us worse than cattle. And they made policy. They created a policy called the U.S. Constitution to keep us down, to make us feel like we're less than. When you create a policy to say that black people are three-fifths of a human being, when you create policy in black and white and a constitution with Jim Crow and black codes and all this stuff, right? They never, ever intended for black people to ever become citizens of this country. Their agenda was to keep us as slaves. So let's fast forward it up till today. What do we do? What do we do?
Well, you say you want to fast forward it up to today. Well, what we do is, even though we know that these policies are still in effect, we have to reach the point where we work around them. For example, black men and black women who get into a position of authority to where they can hire or change rules for things of this nature, instead of overlooking your own, hire some of your own. Facebook platform that many of us use, just recently had a problem with their artificial intelligence because it looked at black men and labeled them as gorillas. Now, you just said we were being looked at less than human, and they issued this big apology over, we're so sorry that our computer system is doing this to black Americans. But if you were sorry, you would have made sure that before you even released it, that that didn't happen. Because I'm going to tell you this, that wasn't the first time that that happened. But somebody approved it and said, I'll go ahead and put it out there. All they can do is fuss about it. We as black people have got to get together. We have got to stop believing that we are less than. We truly have to work together.
But how do you teach a people who have been their minds, you know, Carter G. Woodson?
That's just it. You are going to have to crack that old shell of what we wasn't to make it new. It's very easy to sit back and say, well, we can't. Ain't nothing going to change. Ain't nothing going to be different. That's why I continuously raise hell. Because even though it may not happen for me, and I ain't expecting it to happen for me, but for the generations that come behind me, they need a change. They need a change. And we got to start now. We have got to put the effort in.
Well, you know, Malcolm X, you know, when he was here before he got assassinated, one of the things, you know, reading his books and documentaries, he said that we, as black people, we have to be in control of our own politics. We have to be in control of our community. We have to be in control of police in our own community. And, you know, when I look at the police that comes into our community, first of all, they don't even live in our community, right? So, you know, it's just a job to them, you know. There's no investment. There's no anything from that standpoint. And so, you know, all the drugs and guns and all the stuff that's in our community. Now, you know, all that stuff was put there. All those, you know, all that was put there, even in L.A., you know, the railroad, you know, they had a box cart full of guns and ammo, and they rolled it right into the low-income community. And they took all them guns and ammo out. What do you think they're going to do? You know, when we look at the COINTELPRO, when we look at how the, what was the FBI guy name? I want to say Hitler, but it wasn't Hitler.
Are you talking about J. Edgar Hoover?
J. Edgar Hoover. I call him Hitler.
Here's what happened with COINTELPRO, okay?
Man.
COINTELPRO could not have been a success if you did not get some black folks to go along with it. And what they were good at doing was finding a disgruntled member of the Black Panthers. How come you're not standing in front of a microphone? How come you're not out there giving speeches? How come no one is following behind you? And like everything else, you had a few people who bought into that. And so they were made promises. Hey, when we get rid of Huey, we can put you up front. When we get rid of Eldridge, we can put you up front. When we get rid of Angela, we can put you up front. And usually what ended up happening was that person caught a bullet somewhere.
Right.
See, none of that works without somebody willing to go along with it. You know, it was just like yesterday when I talked to you about the folks that Harriet Tubman would have left behind, I put a bullet in. See, you, it don't work if you don't go along, you don't fall for the okey-doke. See?
I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like when I heard about how much money that that we as taxpayers, I want to make this clear with people. We as taxpayers paid, let me say this, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. I want to give a shout out to April. Hey, April. Look like they shared Tyrone and Deacon Thompson from Mount Pleasant. Thank y'all for tuning in. Dr. Kennedy, are you there?
I'm listening to all that you guys are saying. It's a good conversation. Keep going.
Okay, that's Dr. Kennedy, my partner in crime there.
Hey, Doc.
Fresno ain't going to be the same while you're gone.
Well, that's why we got technology. We can go anywhere with a phone.
But I want to make something clear to everyone tonight that we go to work every day and we pay into a system that we want quality service from. It's just like when you go to the restaurant or anything, you know, you're looking for quality. You're looking for professionalism. You know, when I hear police officers shoot one of our babies in the back right here in Fresno, the boy was running away from the cops, and the cop pulled his gun and shot the kid in the head and said, good shot. Or we have police officers who pull their guns and they start using derogatory language. I didn't know they, Brother Tony, I didn't know they taught that in the police academy. Get on the ground, motherfucker. You know, all these, this, I'm like, where does that fit in the equation of apprehending someone? See, you're innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. But I think that all depends on what nationality you are. Because when it comes to us, we're automatically guilty before we even get the handcuffs put on us. Because we're publicly assassinated in the newspaper, the TV. We'll never get a fair trial in court.
But see, that's just
it. The Black Panther Party.
You know, that's just it. Most of that is not taught at the police academy. What happens is these officers get out on the street. They get with a training officer who's probably been out there for a while, who doesn't develop his own sense of what he thinks justice is. And now he's going to pass that on to that new recruit. This is where they pick up all these habits. This is where they pick up all this is us against them, because once they get on the streets, they done forgot everything they done learned at the academy. Now they out there in the real world, and these guys who are bitter going to teach them to be just as bitter and ugly as they are. Now, they always want to say, well, not all cops are bad. That may be true, but it's time for the ones who aren't bad to hold accountable the ones that are bad. If you don't want to be labeled, get rid of them bad apples.
Well, that's the issue, though.
Yeah, that's true. You know, one of the things I was telling Dr. Kennedy the other day was that what's interesting about when our families file lawsuits against police departments across the country. Have you ever thought about the when they get their settlement, out of the, whoever got killed or whatever, the government or the police department or the city attorney put a gag order on the family to say, well, you know, you can't say anything. You can't do no more advocacy work. You can't do no more marching. You can't do no more protesting or anything like that. And then they give them the money, but they act like it's their money. That money that the family get the settlement with is our money, is taxpayers' money. So how dare the police and the district attorney tell a family, oh, you can't say anything after we give you this money? How How dare you do that?
Well, see, what happens is they give them the money, then they kind of force them into signing what's known as a non-disclosure agreement. You can't speak bad about us. You can't say anything bad about us. But I'm going to tell you what would cut all of that out, that instead of suing the police department, you start suing them police unions. You start suing police unions, and I can guarantee you a whole bunch of this mess will stop. Because when you start suing the police union, now that ain't the police department's money. It's the money of the police officers that have paid into the system. When you start messing with their money, I'll bet they start holding their brother and sister and accountable for their actions out there on them streets.
Well, let me ask you this question, Brother Tony. You pretty seasoned brother. Why is it that even with the George Floyd situation that took place here in America, why when a civilian can supposedly, I'm going to say, murder or do something or they go to court and they get charged for murder, but then when a police officer do it, it's third degree or it's, but a civilian can do the same thing as a police officer, they get the max, but a police officer gets a tap on the hand. What I mean, and we're paying for this service. That's what this means. We're paying to be lynched, we're paying to be murdered, we're paying to get someone knee on our neck, Zimmerman. He killed the young man that was carrying the Skittles.
Tavon Martin.
You know, then we got Uncle Bobby in Oakland, where his nephew was placed on the ground in the BART, and he was shot in the back. Why don't we hear more prosecution of cops, right? We had the cops who assassinated the Black Panther Party. It seemed like they get away with murder, but then they want to hold civilians accountable. I don't understand that.
When it comes to police, always remember that blue line. Don't care how dirty or corrupt he may be, it's that blue line. They're only going to do so much now. Chauvin, the officer that murdered George Floyd, he has not, and I repeat, he has not walked clear because as of today, now he is getting ready to face some new federal charges. I haven't had a chance to get further into it because I've been dealing with other things today, the recall and a few other things I've been looking at. And I also did a blog today. But I'm going to get into that a little later on to find out just exactly what it is that the feds are going after him for this time that is attached to George Floyd's predicament. You ask, how is it George Floyd was killed in his own community? You have to remember, I don't care if George Floyd would have been in Beverly Hills, he still would have been murdered. Because first and foremost, he's a black man. First and foremost, as a black man, you gonna always be the bad guy. Think of how many brothers and sisters who are lawyers and police officers themselves who have been pulled over driving while black or in a store shopping and security is following them through the store. It doesn't matter where George Floyd was. Derek Chauvin had it put it in his mind that he was going to kill him, a black man, that day. And even though you have people standing around screaming, get off that man's neck, he can't breathe, lift that man up, and his fellow officers were keeping the crowd back and running in to assist him, They didn't care that badge. They feel that badge gives them the right to do the things they do instead of protect and serve, which is what they claim they are there to do.
So let me be devil's advocate for a minute here. Let's take all the ones that involve and let's flip the script. Let's say that Zimmerman, not Zimmerman, but this guy who had his neck, this police officer who had his knee on the neck of George Floyd was a black man. And let's say that his knee was on the neck of a white man. Now, how would this play out? Would it play out the same or would it play out differently?
You don't need to flip the script on that one because that happened in real life. The brother in Minnesota who was the police officer who shot the white woman, he was automatically found guilty of murder and sent to prison. And he was a police officer, but they straight sent him to prison.
No.
There was no slap on the wrist. He got major time.
So then we can say there's a double standard within law enforcement when it comes to a black man doing something versus a white man doing something, and it would seem that just like when Rodney King was being beat and someone caught it on film, they beat the hell out of Rodney King with them billy clubs. I mean, Rodney King was crawling on the ground like he was a worm or just defenseless, and they were hitting him, you know, all them cops, and then you had some cops just standing there watching. So, you know, this whole police, whatever you want to call it, institution, program, from my perspective, it all comes from slavery. You know, the first badge that was ever made in America was called Slave Patrol. Slave Patrol. Then they switched it to start putting each individual city names on it. But the first badge in America was called Slave Patrol. That's where police, the word police, actually originated from, was to catch so supposedly runaway slaves. Okay? And even through that piece, you know, even in Black Wall Street, 1921, the only police that policed the community was white folks. We didn't have police. There was no black police department. Now, we had guns. Yeah, we had guns. But I'm actually talking about who patrolled the community. It has always been white folks.
Well, you think about it. For example, my man Bass. Now, he was a black officer. He was a black sheriff in Oklahoma Territory. But he couldn't arrest white folks for the longest. Not until the judge decided to make him a federal officer. Now, he could arrest blacks, he could arrest Indians, but he couldn't arrest a white man. Same thing in the early 30s and 40s in Chicago. You have brothers on the police force, but they only patrolled the black neighborhoods. They couldn't arrest white folks. In order to arrest somebody white, they had to call white police officers. And even then, they may not get arrested. So there's always been a double standard.
Well,
there's always been a double standard in law enforcement.
We got Sister Aileen on the line at 5172, and we got Dr. Kennedy still on the line listening. I hope they will chime in whenever they want to. Well, we can't answer this because we're men, but for a mother grandmother, auntie, to see the vicious brutality that is happening to our black men. I mean, it has to traumatize them, I would think. It would have to really put them in a state of shock.
Of course.
I mean, just to see. Huh?
Sister Reed, take that, please.
Well, there are some who think that in our community, what Reverend Floyd has outlined is the reason that black women in our community overcompensate the things that they do for the males and their families, that they are spoiled, that they are given over to, that this is why they're treated with such love, concern, and et cetera, in their families, and because they never know what's going to happen in the outside world. And I don't know, I've heard this concept quite a bit. You know, being the auntie of six nephews, I can see where some of that might be true. But on the other hand, this is something that black women have had to deal with on American shores for centuries. The uncertainty of what's going to happen in the outside world to our men folk, to our women folk too, when you think about it, our daughters, our mothers, ourselves, you know, when we were enslaved, people could be raped, could be killed for anything. And so the only thing that we knew for sure was that we loved each other and that we had a bond, a family bond, a familial bond. So, it's difficult to see your children in danger, you know, and that's the part of living on these shores. Racism paints every single aspect of our lives, and this is something that is still true today. You don't know what's going to happen if your male child or your husband, son or nephew gets pulled over by the police. You don't know. There is no guarantee. So
well,
what do we do as
it seems, Sister Aileen, that this law enforcement today wants to be the judge, jury, and executor when it comes to us. It seems that they don't even want us to have our day in court. one said you're innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. Well, number one, that's hard to believe because they say you judge by your peers. Half the time, ain't nobody black in the jury stand. You're innocent until proven guilty in the court of law, but yet when you come in contact with law enforcement and you get arrested, the first thing they want to do is a smear campaign. They want to go 50 years back when you were 6 years old. He stole a lollipop out of the store. So he's a vicious criminal. And America has this whole thing just like, man, they know how to do it. They know how to wrap that package up, you know. Because see, what people don't understand is that they own the airways, they own Rush Limbaugh, they own, you know, Sean Hannity, they own this dude in Fresno. I can't think his name over there off of Palm. Ray Appleton. They own all that. They own the TV station. So if they want to put something out on Reverend Harris, they have the access and the resources to do that. We don't have that type of access. You know, we don't have TV stations as black folks. We don't, I mean, the little we do with Blog Talk and all this type of stuff is great. But I'm talking about a major network, right? We just don't have it nowhere in the country. We have small stuff, right? But when we get into the big, you know, Channel 30 and, you know, this is and that, they want to get public opinion, okay? Public opinion before you go to what? Trial. Because the people that they're going to pull to be the jury is the people that they've already contaminated, right, with what's on TV, what they've been saying on the radio. So by the time you go to the jury selection, your mind is already made up.
Oh, that's the chain of racism, because racism is going to unravel and disfigure every single thing that you go to do. You know, because think about it, the legal system's supposed to say, okay, you're innocent until proven guilty. Well, I know, having worked for two different public defenders here in California, one of the things that they always do when you're going to court, the police always load up the charges. That's number one. And for us, that's probably like triple, because you want to see what's going to be. You load up the charges. Okay, so that's number one. So then you try to get a jury of your peers. Well, how many black people want to have to sit on a jury? You know, I mean, there are some people who, you know, for real reasons don't sit on juries for whatever. But so many of us try to squirm and get out of it. So we don't sit on juries. And I'm not saying that that's our fault. Most people don't want to sit on a jury. But that is works against us. And then the prosecution is going to fight you when jury selection come on. Okay, so that's two. And then you have the judges who have already made up their mind about the people that are coming into the courtroom. So, you know, the thing, and it should be when black people, you know, Brother Tony outlined it, started being on police departments, that we would get better treatment working inside the system. Well, that didn't work because racism tainted all that. So, and the final thing is, okay, you asked for a change of venue. You know, you want to take that trial somewhere else. Well, if you have a trial like O.J. Simpson, no matter where you take it, you going to have a trial. Rodney King, no matter where you take it, it's going to be a problem. So black people, you know, Rev, you've talked about this before. The laws on the books were not made for us. We were not a factor when they talked about all men are created equal, you know, innocent until proven guilty. We weren't a factor in all that. And now all these racist chickens are coming home to roost. They have been for 400 years.
Yes, they have. You know, it's funny you brought that up.
Go ahead, Brother Tony.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you know, you were, Sister Reed was speaking about a jury of our peers. There are 12 people in that jury box, okay? Now, how many black men can look over that jury box and see 2, 3, 4, 5 people of color on that jury? You're lucky if you get one. And you already know they're not going to be from your neighborhood or your side of town. So how is that truly a jury of that person's peers?
That's right.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead, Rev.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my core here for my phone. We're still in a pickle here in America with policies. That's one thing that Jerry Dyer know about me, is that he know I know policy. So it's hard to talk to someone or debate them or have a conversation when you know policy things. And we have a right to be emotional, right? We have a right to be emotional for all the things that has happened to us. But as a civil rights leader myself, you know, I have to, you know, put things in perspective, you know, put things in perspective. And it's hard for a family because they just lost a loved one. And, you know, when they want justice, you know, it's like George Floyd. And, you know, for the life of me, you know, every day I put myself in the shoes of the people who were standing there watching that. What if that was my son, you know, with his dirty knee on my son? Then? What if that was my son, Floyd the Third? You know, I'm sorry, but I would, you know, I probably would have been either dead or arrested, because I'm not going to sit there and watch you brutalize my son, or really brutalize anybody for that fact. But we're in a system that was created wrong from the beginning. It was created wrong from the beginning, and it's wrong today. And so I've always said that the laws that's on the books right now are still have plantation wording in it. And I think somebody, I'm not an attorney, maybe I should have went to law school instead of being a civil rights leader, but somebody, someone, you know, we need to tell our children to start getting more involved in law, you know, being attorneys and things like that. You know, maybe in a freedom school, that's something we need to look at towards exposing our children, another component to getting involved in law. Because the fact of the matter is, from Bakersfield to Stockton, maybe even Sacramento, I just go to Stockton, between Bakersfield and Stockton, Grapevine and Stockton, we have no black civil rights attorneys nowhere in the valley. Nowhere. Nowhere. From Bakersfield. Now, we may have, you know, attorneys. That's great. But I'm talking about heavy hitter civil rights attorneys, you know, that's going to go up against the system. We don't have it.
Right.
We don't have
no,
it.
No, we don't. We don't. And you have to look at, again, you have to look at where we're at. And I understand where you're coming from, and I understand what you're saying. But Mississippi Fresno, as you call it, this is not Los Angeles. This is not Berkeley. This is not Oakland. This is not San Francisco. This is not even San Jose. Okay? Heavy hitters are always gonna look at where, when something goes down, where is the bang for the buck gonna come from? Now, a heavy hitter will come through here if they feel like it's serious enough. But you're right, we're gonna have to put an emphasis on teaching our young folks about the justice system as is and what they can expect from it and how to look for a brighter day and a brighter picture and to work towards one. Go ahead, Sister Reed.
No, I'm agreeing with you. You know, to have those kind of attorneys be based in the Valley, it's not going to happen because they wouldn't get any business. You know, they couldn't make any money. They couldn't stay alive. And so that's one of the reasons we don't have anybody like that. And,
exactly.
Yeah. And it's the way it is. Once again, you got racism tainting every single aspect of the legal system. And so we need both. We need civil rights leaders, and we need the attorneys, and we need the community. Fresno has a very dysfunctional black community when it comes to hanging together. Oh, yeah, certain things we can hang together, but other times it's very disjointed, and the system, the white folks know this. oh, well, you know, I'll talk to so-and-so. I'm sure I can get them, you know, swayed over to my side, you know, if I talk to them in a certain way. On the other hand, you have progressive, left-leaning people like Reverend Harris, myself, you know, yourself, Brother Tony, who are going to say, no, we're looking for the greater good.
Exactly.
Not the individual good. And so until we continue to move forward as a people, they're always going to have the advantage of us.
You know, we're coming down to the end of the show. This is a great dialogue tonight. One of the things, if you may believe it or not, that there has been black leaders and black and people that call themselves leaders or whatever, said that Fresno do not have a George Floyd problem. We don't have those type of problems here in Mississippi, Fresno. We're the little good Mayberry town. And have people really believe that Fresno don't have any problems. Look at what happened to Dylan Noble. Okay. Look what happened to the little kid Isaiah who hopped the fence and the police pulled his gun and shot him in the head. You know, look. You know, I mean, I could just go down the list of many George Floyd Fresno, but you have people who will sit here and say, we don't have those type of problems here. It's just unbelievable. But I want to say this before the show go off. You know, a lot of you know I've taken over the ministry at Free AME, and we're working on a lot of infrastructure and doing some great work. We have a great team of folk working with me and beside me and people who I believe in. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, Dr. Kennedy has been working on tirelessly is trying to, you know, build pipelines to, you know, to Atlanta. You know, I'm trying, you know, Freedom School building a pipeline to Southern University. And what happens in California is that the two most progressive cities is Oakland, San Francisco, and L.A. And what happens is because, you know, they fly over Fresno and drop in L.A. Flies over Fresno, drop in Oakland, San Francisco. And so what we want to do is build an institution at Free AME. People like Uncle Bobby, who do a lot of police reform, not locally, but nationally, internationally. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, he has an office here, a desk here, you know, the Poor People's Campaign. You know, we want to make sure that they have a presence here at Frame. You know, different people in L.A. So we can start building the capacity of resources that the bigger cities have and bring to Fresno. But, you know, we want to set it up to where we build a partnerships and collaborations and, you know, if they want to have a conference here, you know, they have access to that, you know. And so if they have access to it, the community here has access to them. So that's the bigger picture of what we're working on, because if Fresno wants you to stay in this little isolated box, you can't go out, Fresno. You stay right here. You can't get nothing done like that because the power structure knows here that if something go down, I'm calling people from outside of California, not in Fresno, but outside of California. And that's what made Dr. King powerful, is because he brought people from outside of wherever he was organizing. And so the power structure, like, who's all these people, right? And so we have to understand that philosophy, that mentality that Dr. King had, and start, you know, networking outside of Fresno. We have to understand that people that live here are scared. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them are scared, right, to go up against the power structure, right? So that's why Dr. King had them buses and loading all them kids in the buses and elders and men and women. And he brought those, you know, buses into them towns, and that's how he got all those big marches. You know, it wasn't that all those people was in that same town. Some of them was. But the majority of those people came from outside of where he was organizing. But anyway, I just want to say that we're at our last 2 minutes here, and I think Dr. Kennedy is still on the line. Dr. Kennedy, you want to say anything before we close up for the night?
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. Well, I wanted to say I enjoyed the show. You guys are having such a good dialogue. I did not want to interrupt it and put another voice in there, and I think the listening audience got a lot out of that, that whole conversation tonight. I've been watching the, through one eye, watching the races here in California. And I know there's some folks that are pretty upset right now because it looks like Newsom is going to stay right where he needs to be. I think some of these evangelical pastors, we won't call any names, right? And some other conservative folks, they must be just shaking in their pants right about now. They thought they could take this black man and play him against us. You must be kidding. We know black folks when they're broke. It was black folks who took the slaves, the ship, you know. Remember that. So not everybody who looks black is black. You remember that? Oh. Not everybody who looks black is black. So with that, I want to say peace and love. Big ups to everybody.
All right, Sister Aline, what is your word to us?
I always say to everybody listening, stay black till we get back.
All right, Brother Tony, you the anchor. You the anchor.
And like I always say, everybody reach one, teach one. Those of you who are legally armed, teach your folks how to use them weapons. Take them to the range. You know, it is time that we get organized and start protecting ourselves. And like I always say, I'll holler.
All right. Well, you know, Facebook family, I'm about to cut you off because for whatever reason, when we play songs, like Bob Marley, they put me in a Facebook jail. So I'm going to probably pay like maybe 10 seconds of it. But hadn't it been them putting me in a Facebook jail. So just want to say night to everybody. We enjoy everybody tonight. And we'll see you tomorrow. And you all be safe out there. You know, wear your mask. Do what you got to do.
Yes, sir. Safe. Yes, sir.
Say good night, Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show.